Yes, let's get into it. Consistency, consistency is the key to success. My name is Anna K. Hutchinson, and you're listening to For Change Be Bold. Let's chat, let's laugh, because it's your time to start choosing you.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Good. I've been having a lot of fun listening to your episodes, and it's been a joy.
Oh, thank you so much.
I see. I'm not the only Middle Easterner you've had. I just listened to another episode. Tamara?
Yes.
I was like, yes, this is great. I love the
variety. How is
there you go. You know, it's good. Today it worked out good. I was like a little nervous. I was like, it's 9 o'clock. Where am I going to be today when I put this on the calendar? And I'm like, this was perfect. I socialized with humans and it was great. I met my intern in person for the first time. That was fun.
Oh, nice.
She's Swedish. So I was like, ooh, we had Swedish candies. I was like, great. Let's eat sugar together.
Amazing.
The life's good. Life's good. You doing good?
I am doing good. Yeah. My day has been going great. Not bad.
Oh, good.
So
that's good.
So today what happened to me was because I travel back and forth, well, two times this week to
Mesquite.
Well, I'm in Vegas, but I travel back and forth to Mesquite, which is like an hour away sometimes, not every time. So I did it twice this week and today.
Oh, man.
So on my way, I left up pretty early so I can, you know, be here so we can do the 6 o'clock.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So on my way back, I got a call from one of the girls in the office and she's like, hey, how far are you? And from the minute she said that, I was like, what happened? Like, what did
I do? Just say no.
She's like, you left your purse here. I was 30 minutes away from Vegas. So I had to turn back and drive all the way. It was like 30 minutes drive back. Yeah, it's an hour. But I was just like.
Did a miracle happen? Did you win a jackpot on the way there?
I will, right?
Find a lottery ticket, something. Oh, my gosh.
Something.
It's happened to me too at the airport, and like miraculously someone found it and I was like, how can I identify myself? I'm like, my ID's in there, but look at the business card, they have my face on it, and it worked. I was like, great.
You're like, look at my face and look at the ID.
Look at it, that's me, I promise. Not a lot of people look like me, so I'm like, hello.
Exactly. It's like, I don't have a twin out there. I might do, you know. I think everybody has a doppelganger out there.
Yeah. I mean, you see the documentaries, right, about like the people who like secretly in some, okay, there's like there's Netflix rabbit hole.
I don't know.
You don't want to look at it? There's that. There's a guy that basically said that there was someone else's sperm, but he was a doctor, but it was actually his sperm. So he has like hundreds, if not thousands, of babies with his genes in the world. And they don't know about each other and they weren't told about this.
Yes.
It's on Netflix. Have you seen this?
I've seen it. Yes.
Okay. So you know.
And the doctor, right? The doctor. Yeah. Crazy world. Oh,
yes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. This is Anna K. Hutchinson, and I am joined today by our lovely guest, Shailee Aki-Mayet. Did I get that right?
Love it. You are so sweet. Yes. Fabulous.
Oh, my God.
With the smile, too. I love it.
I had to practice for that, but thank God I got it. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to For Change Be Bold. You know, yes, I'm excited to have you on the podcast today. And before we jump into the episode for today, you know, we have to talk about your background, your story, who you are. And, you know, first of all, before we even jump into your background, something intriguing came to my attention.
Oh,
you know, and we're going to talk a little bit about this. So, Shailee?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it. So Shailee is a hospital magician.
Ooh, yes, it's a secret. It's one of my secrets that is not a secret. Yes, I did it for 3 years at Comer's Children's Hospital, which is on the south side of Chicago. It's associated with the University of Chicago, where I've also taught a little bit too. And it was absolutely remarkable to go into these children's rooms where they're oftentimes like alone. Maybe they don't always have family near them. It's not fun. They don't get any choices. And I get to come in and empower them through something funny and magical and make their family forget for a few minutes that they're in a hospital. and let them choose what their adventure could be like, when they often don't get to choose what kind of shots they get or any kind of treatment. So it's been a life-changing experience, and I'll have in my heart for many years.
That's great. Is this something that you still do?
I am not doing it currently. I took a hiatus right before COVID, actually. But I did it for 3 years, almost every other week for, I don't know, 3-4 hours a weekend. And it was a blast. And it's called Open Heart Magic. So if you want to look up that organization, they have a few branches in different cities. It's very cool.
I've never heard of it before, but thank God for sharing that. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for bringing that smile and that light to those kids' face. I know it can be really hard being in that, you know, hospital room just by themselves. So yes, thank you so much.
Oh, so real. Yes.
Yes. So let's get into your background. Talk about yourself. Let's hear about Shiley.
Yeah. So I know we both have a connection with Vegas. So I didn't live in Vegas. I spent a lot of time in Vegas growing up. My dad is an entrepreneur. Both my parents are immigrants. So we have some of that connection. And a lot of people come from a lot of different backgrounds listen to your show. And my mom's from Morocco. My dad's from Iran. But yeah, my dad had to work in Vegas much throughout the year. So my upbringing, one of the best things for me, I realize not every immigrant story is like this kid of immigrant story. My parents, like, you know, they didn't always know how the school systems work, how college worked, how they could check my grades on the internet throughout high school. They didn't even know that was a thing. Well, my other friends would get grounded if they had like a B plus. What?
I was like, you're mad then.
Right? So growing up, I had to be a very self-determined to make the life that I wanted for myself. And I got diagnosed, and I don't talk about this very publicly, but I will do it on this show because why not?
Exactly.
I got diagnosed with some disabilities growing up that made it harder for me to do the things that everyone else did. And so I had to find my own motivation to do things because not everyone believed in me. I was bullied. I was teased. Sometimes my teachers wouldn't think I was as intelligent as everyone else. I was just a weird kid, and it was really difficult to make a social life for myself. So one of the ways in which I really developed my social life was through the internet. And I am so lucky to have grown up with the internet, AOL Instant Messenger, if you remember that. Yeah. Right. And really a big part of my story is MySpace, where I found people who love the same weird stuff that I do, which is Big Brother and Survivor. Love those shows. And we found a community of people who not only love to watch those shows, they like to play an online version of those shows too. So I even created a community for those people. I know you're a community builder yourself too.
I am.
So I built a community as a teenager for these folks. And I didn't think much of it growing up, other than like it was life-changing. It helped me make friends. It helped me socialize. But it also kind of led me to a career because many moons later, like 4 or 5 years after I graduated college from Indiana University, I had a teaching degree. And I remember applying, I know, right? Totally, totally different road here.
I'm just go ahead.
there was an internship to do some sort of social media thing. And I volunteered doing social media for someone. And one thing led to another. I got this position doing social media after I told them, they're like, have you managed online communities before? And I was like, did I? And I was like, MySpace. I did it on MySpace. So I felt like I had experience already, which, you know, for anybody listening here, like whatever experiences you've had, whether you're paid, not paid, full-time, part-time, like valid. It's about the fact that you've done it, not like the fact that you did it full-time for a big company. So that helped me get the job. And one thing led to another. I was freelancing social media, which was a whole other grind and a hustle. And then eventually someone in a business networking group, BNI, I don't know if you've heard of those groups, but she was like, oh, yeah? She's like, Shiley, I don't want to pay you to do your social media, to do my social media. And I was like, But then she's like, can I pay you? And I was like, you're going to pay me to do what? Teach me how to do Instagram. And I was like, wait a second. I studied education in college. I like the social media thing. And I was like, I like working one-on-one and motivating people. So that was like the first moment where my business started to shift to teaching and empowering people to do their own marketing. Till we are here to where we are today.
Nice. So you know what? I love that you said that. You brought up a good point right there. It was, you didn't know exactly what was your niche, but someone brought it to you. You were like, I don't know.
Show up.
I don't know what to do. You're like, I want to school for education. Like, but then it came back full circle.
Yeah.
And now you're teaching one-on-one. So you're learning what you went to school for. So
exactly. In a weird way.
In a weird way. Exactly. Not the way that you intended.
I didn't want to be a full-time teacher. I knew that going into it. I was like, if I need a backup plan, which is another bit of advice for people figuring out their career, having a backup plan is not bad because I did make money teaching. It wasn't a lot of money, but like I got some really good part-time teaching work that helped sustain me as I was figuring out my life, which was a really nice thing.
Yeah.
So backups.
Exactly. Everybody has. I'm sure for many of you listening to me, I'm not in the job that I went to school for. Like, I'm not in the degree field, you know, like I'm doing something completely different from it. But at the same time, I'm still utilizing that degree. So, I mean, in some, you know, aspect, you're going to utilize whatever you have gained. So, as you said before, you know, whatever experiences you have, use that. Okay. Put it on your resume because it's something that you can use. So don't shy away from it. Don't shy away from that.
Put it on there. I will tell you the biggest thing that I see that breaks my heart, especially when I have worked with my interns or when people hire me to do like workshops for like college students or high school students, even, that's the biggest thing I see them mess up, especially for the young women. But I have extra love for the young women of color who like don't know how to validate this stuff. And I'm like, I want us all to get paid. Like, I want us all to be compensated for our skills. So highlight it. Like, I'll give you this example. One of my interns now, she does photography and she's like, and this is kind of real. Like, photography as a business is sometimes hard to build. And she's like, I don't know if I can actually do that. I love it, but like, I could probably make more money doing social media. And one of the differentiators that got her the job is that she had photography in her pocket. So the variety of skills that you have as a bonus to whatever your main skill is, huge, huge. Exactly. Talk about it.
Exactly.
Tell me more.
And here is a perfect example of that. So I was just talking to someone today about this and I was questioning them. I'm like, hey, you know, how did this person get to this position? Like, you know, asking them like, you know, what career field or where did they go to school? And you're like, they didn't go to college. I'm like, oh, didn't go to college? She's like, no. She's like, they work their way from the bottom of the company all the way to the top. Mm-hmm. So let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what you went to college for. Because sometimes the people like me who went to college are out here not even working as close to what these people are working who did not go to college. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't go to college, but I'm just saying like, you know,
messy these days.
Exactly. You got to know what works for you and find what works for you and do what works for you. That's all I got to say. Just find what works for you.
I love that. Yes. But like, I mean, if you've got passions and interests, like don't shy away from them. Obviously take care of your finances where you can, but like, don't shy away from the things you love, because I think the people that end up being the most successful or the people, at least that I assume are going to be successful, is when you take very obscure skill sets and you put them together, right? Where you use your background, your interests, your hobbies, and you can just mesh them. Like, I wish I had better examples of this, but there's some cool people out there who do that. And I'm like, nobody will understand these obscure worlds the way that you do. Like, I love, for example, this is where I like venture capital, which is really random and difficult to understand. I think it's interesting, but also most people in social media know nothing about that. So I'm like, okay, those are two lenses. Then you add teaching to it. You add motivation. You add public speaking. I'm like, okay, those are all very different. Again, events. I love events. So I have a very unique lens of the world that nobody else is going to have in the way that I do. So everyone listening has that. Yes. Exactly. And you do too. You do too.
Yeah, exactly. So social media, that's what we're here to talk about today. We're talking about it because guess what? We have the great Shaylee here who knows herself. And, you know, we're going to talk about social media, the impact that it has and how can we. So I'm an amateur. I'm going to say I'm an amateur at social media. But I mean,
we talk about it.
I do use it, but you know what? I don't use it that much. And I try to, you know, get into it, the reels, the Instagram, you know, all of this, the algorithm, it changes all the time.
Don't fight
it. For someone who's making a living, because right now, you know, with social media, I don't know if you heard about it, but a lot of people, they're locked out of their Instagram.
Oh, there was a whole thing.
Getting access to it. Exactly. And they've been making a living off of social media for so long. Like, what is your take on it? What do you suggest for them who are just like making on Instagram and you're not utilizing all their social media?
Ooh, It's all about how you use it. So I'm going to echo something that the other marketer that you had last year on your show said. So one of the things that the man you had on last year who also talked about marketing said that I want to echo here that I also truly believe is that they say that your Instagram is on rented land. You do not own Instagram as a platform. They can kick you off tomorrow. And I kid you not, there's a company now that is literally Instagram insurance that you pay them like, I don't know, $10 a month. And if your Instagram crashes, they'll give you $500 a day till they recover it for you or something. I was like, cool. Today is literally the day that you need it, but you don't own that platform. So he was always saying like, bring them somewhere like email marketing where you own their names and you know where they are. I don't think it's anything like you should know who you're talking to. If you're trying to get random people who fall from the sky, you could do that, but most people aren't that talented at crafting beautiful TV worthy content on the internet. And then you would try that game. But like a lot of it is like, let me just try and hope it works. But what I do and how I can like guarantee that there is a benefit to social media for my clients is a lot of them are connectors. They are people with a large network. They have a lot of friends. They know a lot of really cool people. But they don't stay in. I ask them this every time. Do you stay in touch with your past clients, your referrers? Do people see you on a regular basis? Remember, oh my gosh, you're brilliant. And they look at me like, oh, actually, I'm probably better at that. So I always say, start with the people you know. Make sure they're invested in it, right? Like one of the things I love about how you've done your podcast, you were like on your like anniversary episode, you literally thanked every single person that had been on your show, right? Like that's some personal love. Like, yes. Like you really appreciate each and every one of us. And I'm like, how amazing is that? And that's the kind of attitude you want to have when you're figuring out social media. And that's the quickest way to win. So if you're 200 people, your 50 people are all people that love and adore you from real life. The odds of you getting more out of that audience is higher. And it's a weird way to start, but it's the one way that you can control that the algorithms aren't going to completely destroy you. Because when they see your name, it's not just some random scroll. It's like, I know you. And that's the easiest place to start. If you know your target audience and you have relationships with them already, ask them to follow you there or wherever your platforms are. And also, here's the thing about the reels, right? Like, it's a lot of work to make that, to make it look pretty. It's like a whole text thing. And I'm like, oh, too much headache. Also, exactly. Find the kind of content that you enjoy making. If you like podcasts like you like to do, right? Then use your voice. Now, granted, podcasting is really hard because the promotional, you still have to do everything. You have to do the finding of the guest, the interview, the prep, the all. So it is hard. It is hard. So good for you. But you have to find the way that works. Like I love talking. So the fact that I get to be a guest, I'm honored, right? Live streaming is great, but I don't always have a good platform for it. And I make videos on my LinkedIn because that's my spot. It's where my people are and where I have a type of content that I can put out regularly, right? If you like to write short little messages, maybe Twitter is your spot. So it's a combination of all of those things. If you don't love doing it, you're not going to stick with it. And I want you to stick with it. Don't quit.
We don't want you to quit.
No.
We want you to keep going, keep pushing towards it. Yes. So, you know, social media, the whole aim of it is for people, especially the business world. It's for us to gain people, first of all, who are attractive to what we're selling. And also, that's our target market. We're targeting people. But do you think that if we just go on social media, aiming at every single person, that's just the wrong way to go about it? What is your strategy to helping people narrow down? Because listen, followers are not going to be, not saying that you have 1,000 followers are going to say that 1,000 followers are going to buy from you. So how can we take that mindset out to say that when we have more followers, more people are going to buy from us?
It's like quality over quantity. That's part of it. The other part that I will say is niching is a hard one. Actually, I wrote about it in an email. I send out emails every other week. And one of my followers on there, she's like, oh, come speak to my community about niching because all of them are anxious about it. And it's really hard. It's really hard because if you don't know who you're talking to, I gave myself a long time to figure it out. I don't even think I have a super niche at this point, right? I'd say give yourself time. I tell this to my personal trainer. I was like, Jordan, like, if you're going to start something, I told two personal trainers of mine, Planet Fitness, by the way, free personal training. It is amazing. Highly recommend. Hot tip. And so I told both of them, I was like, if you want to do something big on the internet, free ad for them, hashtag Planet Fitness, whatever, not paid. But I told them, like, if you're going to start something, start with your list. Like, think of like who you want to talk to. If you're got a job, if you've got some sort of stability, keep in mind who you want to reach, because by the time you actually start, that's going to be the hardest thing that people neglect. They don't learn sales. They don't know how to promote themselves. They don't have people that already trust them for the thing. So if you can build that up as you're figuring it out, whether you know it or not, that's one way to do it. The other way that I do this, because I'm not perfect at niching, and there is, they say, riches in the niches. Like, it's like a real line. Like, it's a real moneymaker. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to just pick, but one of the ways I do it, and I tell my clients to do it, is just like, you've already got the network, better explain what you do and what you solve for people, right? So for me, like, I'm better with connectors who are in service-based businesses. So the more I speak to that demographic, the more they find their way to me. So the more I name the problem, the more they can illuminate themselves for my audience that has a very mixed bag of people. So that's how I kind of niche without niching, is that the clearer you get on what you solve, the easier that gets. And I've given myself, I don't know, 8 years to get clear on what kind of social media work I do. And it gets a little easier every year. So that's what I would say. Name your problem, okay. Name how you solve it. And the clearer you get about like what kind of people might be in that, the better. So you might not know it's mechanics, or I had a student, a guy that teaches, he has a mechanical school that teaches how to do cars. Totally new space, right? I have a corporate magician who needs to give out tips to keep people in their head about why this thing works, addressing their concerns. And over time, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
So that's how I start with niching. It's hard, but try that first.
Well, you know what? It's a slow work. As you said, it's a process. Not everyone is not everyone has figured out fully who's their niche or who's their target. But I mean, it's important for you to find who that target market is so you can target them.
Yeah. I was gonna say it gets clear over time. So I would say the sooner you start to experiment with it, the easier it'll be long term. I wrote this in our pre-interview conversation. Like, don't start with the logo. That's the stupidest thing to start with, because if you don't even know who you're helping or what you're doing, like, that's way easier to check the box that I did a logo that's not actually going to make you money day one. Okay. So if I could go back, I would say I would have been a little bit smarter about researching my demographic without actually having a product ready, like testing words even, and be like, would you buy something like this? I think that would have been a better move early on, to not waste my time with the wrong demographics over the years.
I agree with you. Spending too many times on things that will not be as much value right now is not important. Focus on the things that are going to bring you the most value right now, and then you'll see the results, because I was that person. I wanted that. The logo, I wanted the name, I wanted everything so that I can put it out. And then I'm like, what do I have behind it? Nothing, right?
Right.
So think about what
don't do it.
Need.
So, I would say learn sales. Exactly. Sooner the better. I hate it, but learn it.
Yes. Go to networking events. That's the best way for you to sell, because first of all, you're selling yourself. Okay. If you can sell yourself to someone, if you can go out and talk to someone about yourself, because the first thing, you know, with network marketing, you're going out there introducing yourself. So if that person doesn't engage by you talking to them, they're not going to want to stay around. So how are you going to tell them about your company or your product or what you're selling? So you have to first learn to sell yourself before you can come to do anything.
That will help you whether you have a business or you have a job, anything in life. Okay. That's a great skill just to have at any age. Just like start doing that immediately, because that'll help forever. Like, I look at skills like, you're working the same job for 10 years, right? You leave that job. Some of those skills and some of the things you've built are no longer yours, right? So, but the skill of selling yourself is always yours in your pocket. It'll help you negotiate. It'll help you do everything. So it's something you can own forever, and that it's not going to become outdated. It's going to, I mean, sales will always change, but you own it. So just have it.
Because you're the person that they want, right? If they want what you're going to offer to the company. So if you can sell yourself to offer something valuable to that company, they're going to take it. They're going to take you first before anything else. So remember that. So let's get into social media a little bit. So social media, you're a social manager, right? And if I wanted to say, okay, I have my company For Change People, and I decided, hey, I want to hire a social media manager right now. And I am clueless as what do I really need that social media for? You know, social media manager for, I should say. I'm completely clueless, but I just want somebody to manage my social media. What would you say are your biggest top three items that you give or you offer to clients who come to you and say, hey, I want you to handle my social media?
Ooh, so this is a great question. I would say the easiest thing is I have a guide on my website. You go under services, says pricing, and it explains the entire industry of what kind of social media services you can buy, especially if you're a growing company. So you can get anywhere from intern to like hiring an agency, right? It explains every type, the pros and the cons and the pitfalls, and who it's best suited for and how much you might pay. depending on who you go to. So that's like a great resource on yoursocialmediasherpa.com. I would say, right, I don't do social media management, but what I do really well is I work with someone's social media manager already. So let's say I was working with you and your social media manager. One of the biggest issues, this is issue number one that I see over and over and over again, is there's a communication issue. Not because we're bad people, it's because people who are in the business mindset, people who are in a social media execution mindset, always don't speak the same language. Social media managers, they want to post pretty pictures and they want to just be doing something out of rotation. They're admins in a lot of situations. Well, business owners are like, oh, I need to sell. And it's like, social media isn't a sales system, it's a education system. So people say, hey, I actually want to work with you. So I like to bridge those two worlds, because a lot of times the best content lives in the brain of the business owner like yourself. But if you don't know how to communicate that to your person to take that and to manifest it into information in front of people that are likely to buy from you, then there is not going to be as much value out of that person. And that's why social media managers get a bad rap. They're like, why aren't you making me sales? And it's like, that's not how it works. So that's one issue that I see all the time. The other issue, and this is something that I'm exploring myself, like my I have another assistant. I've been exploring with assistants for the last few years, and she's going to help me do my LinkedIn and help me get it more organized. And so one of the issues I had, and this is getting an assistant, is it's just hard, is that you need to know the system that you want to offload before you offload it. I've been trying to learn that for a long time. And now I'm like, okay, I know exactly what I need them to do. I need to make it really, really easy for me to get my videos, get my captions, and post them with words, because I don't want to write the words.
Yeah.
Everything else I can do the videos myself. So that's another thing, right? Is know what it is that's already working and how to add to it. Because if you don't already know what's working, it's not always going to be great to just add a social media manager. Unless you're a big enough, you're a bigger company that just has to have it done professionally. Like I've had a few therapy clients and other people in that space, like they need to have someone doing their social media. So they kind of just have to do it. The other thing I would say is really understanding how social media relates to your business. And I think that's some of the biggest takeaways people have working with me is they're like, okay, I see how this impacts the bottom line. Because if the right people see the right information that shows you as the brilliant genius that you are, they're more quickly going to realize that they need to raise their hand and say, take my money. And that's the piece. If they can get that and how all these pieces go together, jackpot. So those are the three.
I love that. So, you know, you're going to be there to offer them the guidance and the support to help them with that social media handle. So,
yeah.
So as she said, you know, go on her website, because she has a list on there of things that you can utilize and you can use. But thank you so much for sharing that with us. So I was at a little networking event recently and I met this company. Their company is, I think it was like massage and some other stuff, IV drips and everything like
that. Oh,
all the good stuff, right?
So Vegas, so West Coast.
Exactly. So while at the event, I, you know, was talking to the owner and I was just like, hey, can I get a, you know, business card? Do you have a social media account? Can I follow your, you know, social
media? Oh, no. They have one?
The first thing was like, we don't have social media accounts. We don't utilize social media. So their whole take on it is that we are selective with who we want to open. Or services to, and who we want to bring into our market. So, you know, when I heard that, I was just like, you know what? Do you. If it's working for you, then it's working for you. So do you think that every single business needs to be on social media?
Good question. Actually, you know what? I'll surprise you. I'll say no. I will say this. It's the whole thesis of everything I teach is everybody knows it's like classic business, right? Like if you have the right people and you have the right service and you can match them, great things can happen. All the content I make with my clients could be emails. They could also be postcards, right? I had a client where he's like, oh, I want to send postcards to all these people who are my be commercial real estate clients for him or whatever. And I was like, well, instead of just saying, hey, buy from me, why don't you put all the tips that we've written on social media on the postcard? And they're going to think you're a genius. So you could translate it a lot of different ways. Now, social media, and I told this to someone today, social media does not have to look like Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, TikTok, whatever. It can look different, right? I told one of my guys who also has this energy of wanting to be exclusive, it's like, not everyone has to see what you're doing, but if you pick 20 people from your network that you want to personally have on that list because you know that they're important, if you can keep them educated on what you're doing, that might be enough to sustain your business, depending on what kind of business you're having. I don't try to be a volume business. I want a handful of clients that I can focus my energy on, and that's great. Exactly. But my dad, for example, right? Like he's not posting on Facebook, but he's like an influencer on, and I'm sure your family probably uses this WhatsApp. Are you a big WhatsApper?
So everybody in the Caribbean is.
Right? That's what I'm saying. And if you have any sort of immigrant connections, you have WhatsApp. Everybody else? Zero. Right? Like, I'll tell you this funny story. I was at a big event with like 60 people at someone's house. And randomly, the person on stage was like, how many of you in the room have WhatsApp? And I asked my dad, how many of the 60 people do you think raised their hand? In his mind, everybody uses WhatsApp because everybody he knows is like an immigrant or they're in a business with a lot of immigrants. He's like, oh yeah, everybody raised their hand. How many people raised their hand in this room?
Probably like three or five.
You were right. Three people out of 60. They were all like super American. Whatever. They're like, we don't even really know what this is. And this was like five, 6 years ago. So, but my dad, right, his whole world and his whole business operates on WhatsApp. And so he created a chat room for all his best business buddies to now buy and sell from each other. So he's a social media influencer on WhatsApp, but people don't give that credit, right? And just like this salon, maybe they have an email list. Maybe there's something else. Maybe they have a secret postcard thing. Maybe they have meetings every month. I don't know. I'd like to think that that kind of thing, maybe it would be good to have them on there, but it's really tricky because I think if they don't engage with their past clients, then they're not going to get referrals to that exclusive network. So I would wonder, that would be my next question to them. Like, do they have a list and are they like maintaining it somehow outside of social media? Because it doesn't, I think this is, they don't have to all look the same. It does not have to look like classic algorithm BS. So don't feel the pressure to do it the one way. Don't do it.
Exactly. And that brings me to my second question here. So, you know, you touch a little bit on it, social media, you touch a little bit on WhatsApp, you touch a little bit on, you know, don't have that pressure. So now for immigrants, you know, like we have immigrants in our family. We have people who are not here in the United States and they are seeking this kind of social media experience where they want to engage with people from the United States or maybe from England or from a different country.
That's some cash.
They want to sell their products. They want to, you know, let people see what they're doing. So, you know, share with us how they can actually utilize their network, what they have right now, and grow that business.
Ooh. Okay. So the one stupid, simple rule that I'll say, and I think this works more for like businesses that surround the person that like, if like you are the brand, I think this helps you more than if it's a product, because that's more my space that I work in. My simplest thing is if you've got a Google Doc, you can even do this on a real sheet of paper, ideally somewhere you could use it, like where you could mail it to people on the internet, just write it. Maybe it's a Word doc, whatever. Maybe it's your notes on your phone app, right? Download everything from your brain that any potential person has ever asked you, right? Or like maybe you told your mom or your cousin about this product or whatever you're selling. What kind of questions did they have? What reactions do you have? If you can answer every one of those questions, why people need it, why you started it, why you care about your background, right? Are you a mom if you want to share that, right? What kind of career did you have? You can dump all of that, right? And send that to someone or have that be visible somewhere to someone who wants to buy from you. That'll build a lot of trust because it's not just a stranger who's sending me a hi on Instagram with not a lot of detail in their profile. You want to make sure it tells a little bit about you, whether it's in your Instagram profile and your like some of the pictures that you see on your home screen. It could be your LinkedIn profile. Maybe it's a web page. Right. This all of this content can feed SEO, blogs, tweets, TikTok, whatever you want. But the idea is that you have to make it really easy for your prospect to see it. So right now, what I've been doing is I have a video series that really teaches everything I teach every single one of my clients. And it's free on my YouTube account. Right. So I'm making sure that anybody who wants to pay me money watches it in full beforehand, because if I'm their person, that's how we'll know for sure. If I'm not their person, I didn't have to explain anything to them. My internet presence has already done it. It's the idea that it happens before you ever get on the phone with someone or anything like that. I think a lot of times when some of my peers meet people from other countries, there's a lot of ignorance there and it's really sad. But like, there's that, but it's also like, oh, who is this person? And, you know, is this person sketchy? Like, what's their deal? And I hate that. It's really sad. But like also too, if you don't give context to people, that's what ends up happening is people make assumptions. So the more you can make it clear that you are who you are, the easier someone can imagine who you are as a person and potentially someone they might want to work with.
Exactly. And, you know, website, because websites are very important and they are a part of, you know, the social media world. You know, as much as you think Instagram,
it's a cycle. Facebook,
exactly. It's a cycle that's going to come back right back to that website. It's going to come back to that page. Make it easy for people to find your products.
Yes. That is so good.
Okay. Make it easy so they can find what they want. Don't give them too much way to go and search, because that's the quickest way to get me off your website. Mm-hmm. If I cannot find it as easy as I need to, I'm going to, okay, bye.
Bye, see you never. Yeah.
Exactly. So
And that goes for anything, right? Like if you have, I don't use my Twitter account to promote my, I'll tell clients okay, you're thinking maybe down the line you want Twitter, but you're not going to ever use it. Somebody just putting a description and say, hey, go to my website for more details, right? That gives people, you can use every social media platform as a mini website to help people get a taste of what you do, and you can move them to somewhere else. The other thing that came to mind, I don't know if you want to go this route, but we were talking about networking earlier, and I used to have a whole social media training. I think it's on my YouTube somewhere from years ago that I did about how to combine social media and networking. One of the best hacks I have. You want a hack? Let's say I met someone at a networking. Let's say I met you at a networking event 3 or 4 years ago. We hit it off. And I'm like, well, maybe do something together. I don't know. Maybe eventually you have a podcast and I didn't know about it, right? I could say, you know what? It's been great meeting you. If I think you're somebody worthwhile to stay in touch with, I can add you to my LinkedIn account. Say, hey, let's be friends on LinkedIn. Now, for the last 4 years, you could see my content every single week going out on LinkedIn, which means you now get to know me as a person. So someone who I met at a networking event who wasn't really a good fit 4 years ago, maybe has a friend who's a good fit for me, or maybe works at a new company that needs exactly what I offer. So that's how I stay in touch with people. It's this can go for Instagram. This can go for any social media account. This can go for your mailing list. I always invite people to join my mailing list, right? Yeah. All of those things, that's how you can keep in touch with people and sell to them without actually having them agree to be marketed to, but in a way that they're not going to be upset about, because you're literally, when you say, hey, like my account, you're staying in touch with them from a thrift store that I was at a year ago. I still see their Instagram posts. I probably would have forgotten about them otherwise. So getting someone to whether it's hey, before you go, can you like my Instagram? Oh, I'll give you a free piece of candy if you like me on Instagram. That little, 20-cent candy could be worth way more down the line. So whatever system, get people to add it, give them something if you can, get them to sign up for whatever it is that you got, because you never know what they're going to see from you when you're not around.
And be open. Be open to accepting change. Be open to realizing that not every single person is going to be for you. But also be open to saying, hi, hello, how are you? It's been a while. Mm-hmm. You have to sometimes engage that conversation first. It's not always on that person to come back and say, hey, how are you? Sometimes you go out. And there's this rule that I learned a couple years back. Don't wait 5 days to say hey, try to bring it up maybe 2 days after or something like that, because then it's, they remember. They're you remember, So try to make sure that you are keeping the connection, and you don't have to do it every single day or every single month.
Don't do that.
Too much. Don't spam them. Don't do it. But every once in a while you can drop a little, hey, how are you? What's going on? If they're having an event, if there's an event going on that they're having and you want this person on your network, if you want to engage with them, go.
Yeah.
Well, support. They can come support your event, And don't try to think it's going to be always about me spending money, because you definitely have to spend money to grow.
It's hard. My first $200 that I spent in my business, I was terrified. I was like, this is a lot of money. What do I do? And I got a website. And I don't think the website made any money for years, but now obviously it pays for itself. So I'm like, great. But I was like, I had to take a chance on myself. And so I did it. It's scary, but and I've made a lot of mistakes. I spent money on the wrong things. I'm sure your listeners have too. I'm sure you have too. Oh,
geez.
You got to spend it to learn the mistakes that you shouldn't be making. Look at how many assistant things I've tried. It's hard, but I'm like, I think I finally cracked it. We'll see how this one goes.
Or when you know you shouldn't have, because you made it before, that mistake before, and you're like, no, I shouldn't. But then you click it and you're like, I know I shouldn't have done that.
But that's how you get better at it. If you don't have that risk, it's harder. But you know what? A lot of the things I spent money on, I don't regret. And I'm like, that feels really good to know. Because now the future, I'm like, somebody has all the answers that I need. Sure, take my money, because I think I'll make more money off your answers. So here we are. But be careful. There's a lot of shady people. So just be wise. Think it twice. If you need to ask somebody about it. If you can't afford to lose it, then absolutely don't spend it.
That drives me wild. The most vulnerable populations are getting exploited by these like get rich quick schemes. Don't do it. It's not real.
So you know what? Let's go into a little bit more about what you offer to us. And talk about what you are going to offer to the audience and what they can expect from you if they work with you.
Ooh, if you work with me, you're going to have the cheerleader you didn't know you needed. You're going to, I say, amplify your awesomeness. I unearth your awesomeness. Like I help you see the things that the people outside of you want to see and want to connect with, right? So like your story, your journey, all that stuff, I pull that out of you. You won't even feel it. It just happens. The other thing that I've been really exploring, actually, you'll be the first one that I'm saying this out loud to, is I want to see if this is helpful. And I think this is different from either growing companies or potentially someone who has their own business, is getting you 3 to 12 months of content ideas in an hour-ish. And something that you can literally hand off to your assistant to manifest so that you don't even have to think about it. I pull it out of your brain. I give you a recording. I write it all down. So this is one of my new easy things that I want to put out to the world. So I think that's a really simple way to start with me and get a lot of good insights. Because I think that's the thing. People are blind to seeing how great they are or what they should be saying. They're like, I exist. And then they post that or look at me doing something great. Like that means nothing. Like, what is your target audience ignorant about that you can teach them? So I pull all that out of you within an hour-ish, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm at yoursocialmediasherpa.com. Like I said, there's the video series you can watch. It's totally public on YouTube. But if you go to my website, you can also sign up to take it as like a course. All you have to do is like add your email and you'll get a link to it. So those are two ways to do it. So that's a lot of good nuggets. You can also get a collection of my favorite LinkedIn profiles. You don't even have to put an email in. Lots of videos, lots of good times. And find me on LinkedIn. I post there every week. Lots of goodies. Is that enough goodies for your people? What else should they know?
Enough goodies for my people.
I love it.
And you know what? You're such a pump. I'm like so energized. I'm so happy that you're on here. I'm so happy that you're talking about this. And I know, listen, she is the cheerleader for you, okay? So if you need someone to be there rocking behind you, helping you to get that social media up and going, you have.
There we go. It's not as scary as you think. It's not as bad as you think. One of my clients, and this wasn't for social media, but I'm sure this applies to social media too. Like I lower their blood pressure when it comes to doing this, right? You don't have to be scared. It's always going to feel authentic to you. You do not have to post as much as you think you do. It's all about making feel easy and accessible and doable for yourself and maybe even have fun with it too.
Exactly. That's so true. Yeah. So you're a LinkedIn junkie pretty much, right?
Love it. Yes.
I use it, but I don't use it that much.
Do you want to talk about it? Do you want a profile review? Do you want insights?
Let's go.
I love it. If I can help all the lovely podcast hosts, I will.
Yes. I mean, I feel like it's so good. I feel like a lot of people talk about it because you're not the first. I've had people on my podcast and they're like, LinkedIn. And I just don't see it. I'm like, LinkedIn.
Depends on you.
I know. Like, and I'm sure people are listening and you're like, I don't use LinkedIn right now. What's the whole emphasis and why should I use it? So tell us, like, why do we need to use it?
Depends on the person, right? There's, if you're a photographer, Instagram, well, Instagram and LinkedIn could be both good. But like, there's different fields that might benefit from different platforms. This stat freaked me out when I heard it because it makes total sense. They're like, of all the different social media platforms, they did like a study about the average net worth of every single person on these platforms. And the highest net worth was like more than double. It was people on LinkedIn, right? So if you happen to want to go after people with more resources, not a bad place to be. So I was like, cool. The other thing that I really like about LinkedIn, well, I think if your business selling to other businesses, it is a gold mine because a lot of people have to use it all the time. And then if you're trying to build a career, this is like your mini website to showcase who you are. What I tell people, especially like my interns or young women that I like work with, is that this is your chance to have a free interview before the actual interview, right? So the interviewer can look you up and say, oh, wow, you understand this thing that I don't have. Wait, I kind of want to work with you, right? It makes it easier for them to say yes. This goes for really business too. It makes it easier for people to see, like I say, use your LinkedIn like an infomercial for your business. It makes people understand what their problems are and how you can help them, depending on how you showcase yourself. It's another place on the internet that showcases you as a genius. I think a lot of people, when you Google them, a lot of stuff doesn't come out. They don't have a nice website. They don't have details about themselves. So if you can stack the deck, that'd be great. So can I give you a nugget about your profile? This is a good example. First of all, I love you have a pretty photo.
your about section is super short, right? So depending on what you're selling or what you're promoting, that's a huge piece of real estate where you could explain how you're a kick butt person. I don't know if you want to do more podcasty things. I know you have your podcast on here, but like maybe talk about that, right? As a skill set or as a thing that you do or the kind of guests you want. You can use it in so many different ways. What else? That's a big one, right? Your banner image, which you have one, which is cool. The next level of it is showing yourself doing something that you love. Maybe it's you with a podcast mic, right? I see something you're in maybe the medical. No, is this a medical field? Maybe something in the medical field. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe leadership. Look at that. There's some leadership things in there, right? Showcase a little bit of who you are with some photos so people get a taste and they can see what you're like. Okay. Those are a few quick nuggets. And then the other thing is if you do post on LinkedIn, there's this perk because you have a headline that like it basically attaches to every post that you have. The headline in yours, can I say what it is or no?
Go ahead. Yeah.
The safety director at HeLogix Inc. I don't know anything about what any of that means. Now, if you're trying to do more work like that, sometimes you need keywords if you're trying to look for a job, but if you're trying to build a business, like explaining what that thing is or who you help in your field or in the industry or whatever, giving people a little bit more details about it is huge because when they see your post come up on LinkedIn, they're going to see that line. If that line doesn't hook them to be like, who is this person? I want to find out more. There's a missed opportunity there. And you're also on creator mode. You can also add a creator, like a video on there. If anything, take 5 minutes to do it. Don't overthink it like one of my clients did. He like paid an editor and everything. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe it's worth it to him. But I was like, just take 5 minutes and make it simple. And it's good enough. But it lets people be like, see you visual and like hear you talk. And you're a talker, you're a podcast host, right? That's not a bad thing to showcase.
Exactly.
So all of that will make it clear for you. Now, how do you utilize it? Like, is your target audience following you on there for whatever business you have?
I mean, yes. I use this, and this is, like, as you said, my health, healthcare. I'm in the healthcare field. So pretty much most of this is healthcare. Like most of the people that follow me or are part of my network are healthcare.
Mm.
So this is just my personal one. And then, I have a separate one just for the podcast. So yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. Did we talk about you having two? Because that's like a whole other can of worms. So it's like the best and the worst thing. A lot of work. But if I combined them right now. And so it's a hard one. I don't want to say that there's one way, but if you're not scared, one is great. But if you have to fight your own, you have to pick it. But I get it. It's messy. So this is, again, I'm not the set answer, but
go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, it's not set. Like it's not set in stone, but it's.
Yeah, it's not set in stone. I wasn't going to say this. I think a lot of, employers now. Yeah. They are recognizing the fact that, people are not just going to come in for that 9-to-5 and not have something on the side.
Yeah, it's true.
Every single person is striving to have that additional income coming in. So I think it's just the way you go about it, what you put on your social media, the angle of how you, integrate everything. Try to be as professional as you can be in all aspect and in all area of your career.
Sure.
And you have the option to not say what you do on the side, but you also have the option to also say what you do on the side. And that shouldn't end up in you getting fired from that company.
I hope.
As long as you're not utilizing that work time to run your business.
Ugh, like, you're right. That makes total sense. It is tricky. I'm going to add to that and say, don't look stupid on the internet because they might find it either way.
Exactly.
So, look, some businesses probably fine, but if you have a business that's a little fancy, a little spicy, then you never know.
Yeah.
But, be prepared for people to find things, right? Whenever I work with a client, I do something called a video review where I look at everything they have of themselves on the internet. I record it so they can watch me have my first reaction. And I found some weird websites. Like one of my clients, his old website that is not his main service these days was coming up first versus the premium product that he wanted to pop up on. And I was like, you should probably know about this. I can't exactly tell you how to fix it, but you could probably make a link from that website to the fancier website, maybe. But
you can.
But there's somebody with SEO, you got to call one of them and they'll tell you, or website people, right? So you never know what's on the internet. Be careful. Let someone stalk you, maybe give you feedback on it.
That's true. And the last thing we're going to touch on with social media is, recently, I don't know if anybody has seen this or you've heard about it, but a couple of months ago, or I should say Yeah, almost a year ago. So this lady was at her job, and you know, everybody's doing reels and TikToks and all this. Yeah. So she had a meeting, a company meeting, and she just, you know, did like a small TikTok, you know, showing that she's going to the meeting. And then she didn't really share that much, but then she posted on the social media site. She got fired from the job for that. So what are some do's and don'ts when it comes on to social media and separating? You're trying to engage with your audience. You're trying to keep them up with what you're doing. But hey, there are some boundaries when it comes on to what you do and what you don't do. What do you think are...
Look, I've not had a traditional everybody like 9-to-5 job. I managed to avoid it somehow in my career. But I know companies have social media policies. Be careful, because if there's confidentiality or there's people that have not asked to be photographed or photographed.
Yeah.
And that's really, if you're in public, that there's like an understanding that you're allowed to film in public. But like if you're in a private company meeting, maybe it's delicate. Maybe make a video after and say, hey, I was at this really important meeting, and give us like a thing. But like, I think this is professionalism, right? Like if this is something in your own life and you're doing it, I think you said earlier on the clock, like it's very, very delicate. The other thing is like fill out your profiles and give people details and specifics, right? If you love dogs, tell me that. If you like cooking, tell me that. If you really love motivating people, tell me that. Give me specifics about who you are on these platforms. So whoever is like looking you up online, great. What do they teach kids? Like, don't put anything online you don't want a future employer to see. Like, it's true. Like, what do they say? Like, when you put it once on the internet, it stays forever.
Exactly.
I feel, yeah, miraculous and nothing bad has come back to me. But I also went through my YouTube channel and started hiding the videos from like 2005. Was it 2005? 2005, right? I've been on YouTube for like 15 plus years. So I like started hiding the old ones of me doing embarrassing things. So I was like, they should not hear me singing terribly on the internet. Now, granted, somebody could have downloaded that and saved it somewhere else on the internet and I could have it come back. Now, granted, nothing was so bad. But start young. What else can I say? I think there's a professionalism thing, right? Like, it's hard. Like, like if I'm at work, you know, focus on work, find out where the boundaries are. But like, it's messy. Like, it's all messy. It's all messy. Just don't be stupid.
Just don't do it.
Just trust your gut. If somebody says don't do it, just don't do it.
Yeah. If you know the policy, exactly.
Yeah.
If you know the policy in your company, follow your policy. And
yes.
Follow the company policy and just save yourself the headache of having to go through that. Because
yes,
you just want to, you know, keep that job.
Yes. Yes. But I am.
Go ahead.
Yes. I was going to add to this, because this other layer of social media, corporate social media, has come up where companies are now paying for this like software tool. But like, let's say I'm a company, my friend's company did this. I want all my employees to post about our big news. They can basically auto post on your account on your behalf because you're part of the company. And they suggest that you do this now. Like if you're posting stupid stuff on the internet, like I was not a customer of my friend's company. I was never going to buy their products, but it looked spammy to me because most of her network doesn't know anything about this very specific industry within the credit card world. And so like it wasn't actually valuable, right? So I think there's this expectation that they can use your platforms to promote, and your audience is your energy, your work, right? There, no one's entitled to it for free. So don't feel like you have to do what your company asks you to promote. I think that's one of my biggest pet peeves is when someone asks me to promote something, like because of a job or something, like, hey, can you engage with this? And I'm like, you know what? Like my audience, this is not really for them. And if I start putting and spamming them with things that are not relevant, it makes me look bad. And so when people ask me to do that or like promote my book that like I don't really care about, like I don't want to promote your book because I don't really like trust that you're really good at this. So don't waste your audience on like you're curating an experience for your people. Be mindful of who you're promoting and who you're sharing and what that story is, because you're no one's entitled to that but you. And nobody should be expecting that. Like, yeah, just post it, because a post to me is way more significant because I'm talking to my people than just posting it out. Like, I think you have to understand who you're talking to. It is a relationship, right? Just like you care about every host that you have on the show, it is a relationship, and you want to be mindful of the good stuff that you're putting out. Not everything's good. There's a lot of crap out there.
Exactly.
But, you know, post your journey, though. People love hearing your story, so.
Yeah. I would say, you know what? Be you. You know,
yes.
Nobody can take that away from you.
Yes.
You, simply you. And Yes. So just being authentic to you, who you are and your values and what you represent. Yeah.
That was like therapy hearing that again. That is a muscle. I am always working on it and I've gotten way better about it. From like no choice to being myself to like being like, oh, people don't like me when I'm too much myself, to like embracing it all and just being like, I don't care if you don't like me, because not everybody needs to like me. Not every person is for me, and that's okay. And
I was just about to say, you don't win everyone over. You don't win them over, you know?
Yep. And when I'm telling you this, I'm trying to convince myself to be true every day. It's a little better. So whoever you are listening to, start now, because it takes forever to figure this out. It took me years.
It does. Listen, you're going to have so much doubt. You're like, should I post this? That's just showing too much of who I am.
Oh my gosh. Send it. This is my trick. Send it to like two people that you trust, because they're going to hype you up and tell you that it's wonderful. I'm pretty sure they're going to be like, this is great. Send it to a small group and then sprinkle it out, because that's how I get more confident too.
Yeah.
That's true. Make someone hold your hand. Like I had Audrey Boyle. She's an amazing comedian and a friend of mine. And the first time I posted on LinkedIn 4 years ago, she was on the phone with me and I was like, I don't know if I should post this. She's a great comedian. She was like, Shiley, just do it. And I was like, ah. And then I pushed it and I was like, oh, I did it.
Go for it.
I didn't die. So
there you go. There you go. Know? I mean, it's hard sometimes. It's hard. It's hard taking that, you know, your comfort zone, because you're coming out of your comfort zone. And you're going in front of so many people who have access to your social media, because anybody who scrolls on social media can see what you post. And, you know, you're asking for their feedback. That's another thing. You're asking for them to say something, comment, share, like, you know. So if they say something that you don't like, you have to remember people have opinions. So if you share something that you don't want a bad feedback from, don't share it. Simple. But thank you so much for
interesting.
Thank you so much for being a part of the podcast and for talking to us, for giving your wisdom, for going through my LinkedIn.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Thank you. So before you go, this is one part. You probably know this because you listen to the podcast.
Your speed round. I'm here for it.
I always ask my guests to share something, one thing, a quote, an experience, something that they have used through their life to help them to be who they are. One thing.
Oof. Well, in social media, it's not my quote. Someone else's thought is, this is a good one, is social media is about the people, not about your business. Provide for the people and the people will provide for you. So true. So real. I know you're providing for the people doing your show. And in life, this is what I've been saying for years, and maybe there's a prettier way to say it, but don't deprive the world of what makes you special.
Don't deprive the world of what makes you special. Wow. I needed to hear that.
Oh, good. Don't have to post it.
Don't deprive the world of what you need. People need to hear from you. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for being a part of the episode. And your social media accounts, we forgot to go over that. Social media, LinkedIn.
So, yes. Shiley Hakimian everywhere on the internet. Hakimian45 everywhere. You want to find that with a lot easier spelling, yoursocialmediasherpa.com or my personal website, shai.ly. It's 6 letters. It's that short. It's kind of crazy. That'll link to some of the other websites.
And I will have all of this in the description, all of it in the description for you guys. And I will have also the link to some of her services on her website that you can go and also be in contact with her. You can email her. I'm sure that's going to be provided as well. And follow her on her Instagram, Facebook page. Get in contact if she's here for support. And as she said, her YouTube channel is literally a guide for you. So there's free resources for you to utilize. So, hey, hit her up and say thank you.
Oh, I love that. Send me a LinkedIn message and be like, I heard you on this show, and I will smile and I'll probably send you a video or like a text back. So
exactly.
All ears for what resonated with you. And then I'm going to ask you, how did you actually do the thing that resonated with you? And then they might be like, I don't know. And I'm like, well, do it by next week and then tell me how it goes.
So. And remember, she's the biggest cheerleader. Okay. She's just spurring you on. you need someone to cheer you on, if you need someone to help you with those ideas that you have that you're like, I don't know where I'm going, there is your direction right here.
There you go.
On it for you.
Absolutely.
On it for you.
It's right there. And you know what I'll say? If you look at my LinkedIn profile, you'll find the most up-to-date time. But every Friday at 4:30 Central Time, I have an open door call thing that I host. And if anybody wants to come and say hi, it's usually like a small group. Maybe it's 1, 2, 3, depending on the week. So if you ever want to say hello, I'm right there every week. So
there we go. You. Say hello. Stop by. Say hi.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of the podcast. And until next week, have a wonderful Friday. Thank you guys for listening to the episode. Wait, my heart.
Here we got hearts.
My heart.
I love it.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Go for it now, because the future is promised to no one. You have just listened to a weekly episode of For Change Be Bold podcast. You can keep the conversation going by following us on our Instagram page and our Facebook page at For Change Be Bold podcast. And until next week, have a wonderful Friday.